Clippers, Clippers, we're talking Clippers.
Wow, that was good.
That was an all right intro. Anyways.
It was all right.
It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
And if the intro didn't give it away, we talk Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell yeah, we do.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off with a preview of the upcoming game against the Boston Celtics.
Another daunting East Coast test.
I got to be honest with you. I have almost no idea what to make of this one.
It's the last game before the All-Star break.
Very true. It's like a senior week or something.
Yeah. This is the day before spring break, basically.
Yeah. So we're going to get into what we need to do well in that one, as well as what could go wrong. Give you a few key matchups to take a look at.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's Hot Take Thursday. If you ever want to leave a hot take, what number can they call that at?
They can call 213-986-7354 to leave the hot take.
Beautiful. Love it. We got a couple of great hot takes. Thank you so much for leaving those.
Thank you, Corbin in a mirror.
Yeah. If you ever want to get your hot take featured on the show, call the number. Yeah. Rewind if you don't remember it.
We'll censor it if you drop a bunch of F-bombs. It's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll get around it. and then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. Just kind of talking, I don't know if we call it the hierarchy, but the most kind of pivotal players.
Basically, we're trying to figure out who the second most important Clipper is.
Yeah.
A lot to figure out.
It's a lot to unpack there. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So as you are listening today, we will be taking on the Celtics in Boston.
Rough.
Celtics come in 8-2 in their last 10. We are 6-4 with some new additions. They stayed pat at the trade deadline. No Patrick Beverley again.
Again, yeah.
Do you think if this was a Western Conference team, he'd be playing? Because it still says soreness on the injury report. It doesn't say strain. It's not like the Paul George thing where he got upgraded.
No.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Part of me...
I think they'd still rest him, yeah. I hope that he doesn't do the skills competition.
Man, yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of torn about that. If it wasn't in Chicago, I'd be like, he can't do the skills competition. Because it's I got that hometown thing. You know what I mean?
Here's my thing. All-Star is worthless.
All right. Well, that's a different... I mean, I kind of agree, but...
all right. So, what do we need to do well in this one?
We need to move the ball.
Oh, couldn't agree more.
That is this team's kind of second, like, thing that kind of goes wrong. Shamet was phenomenal in the Philly game, but he was the first guy off the bench in the first quarter, and he did not get a shot attempt off. Yes. Jermichael Green had 12 minutes of play and had zero shot attempts.
Can we talk about... Can we segue for 1 second?
Yeah.
What's going on with the usage of Jermichael Green this year?
Dude, I have no idea.
The minutes aren't really anywhere near what I would have expected them to be. They're not consistent. I mean, it's clear, at least to me, it seems like he's having trouble establishing some sort of rhythm.
Yep. And he was a guy, what makes it so weird is that he was a guy last year who you could just kind of throw in and it worked.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, I don't know. It's like the usage is just so different. He's not, the shot attempts aren't there, which is absurd to me because the second unit could use the space.
Yeah, it's definitely very weird. All right, want to see some better usage of Jermichael in this game.
I'm sorry to interject.
No, you're totally fine. We can talk about that in shavings. It's very open-ended today on that third segment. We average just under 25 assists a game, which is not very good. Well, they limit opponents to 22. So, like, to win, we have to at least hit our average.
Totally, totally.
What do you got for this?
We got to rally hard.
Okay. Yeah.
Despite their 7-game win streak, the Celtics have fallen behind in double digits before rallying back in a bunch of those games. Just we have to fully plan on the possum effect. They could come back to life at any point.
I like that.
If we're able to establish a lead, which I think in Boston could be very difficult.
Yeah. Could happen though too. There's another kind of toss up game.
It's really difficult to necessarily put this team away.
Yes.
Especially at home.
Definitely. Talk about playing possum. I have secondhand experience with someone very close to me basically dealing with a possum player.
Being attacked by a possum.
Don't get bit by a possum. We need to get to the line.
Yes.
One of the few things
I love it.
Pervy free throw guy. One of the few things the Celtics do a poor job of is free throw attempts. They give up the 11th most in the league.
which is surprising to me.
Very surprising. If the shots aren't falling against the third best defensive rating in the league, we literally have to get to the line, which is something we couldn't really do in the 76ers game.
I'm surprised that they're the third best defensive rating, but they're still around, like allowing so many free throw attempts.
Yeah, I think they maybe foul the right people.
That's a good call. Smart fouls.
What else you got?
Pro fouls. All right, so we should use size to our advantage in this one.
Like
so, the Celtics are going kind of small. Daniel Theis at center, he's only 6'8". It'd be nice to see some solid offense from Zoo. I think that he'll...
He didn't miss a shot in that last game, which was nice.
Yeah, I think that he'll have no trouble cleaning up on the glass.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see like just an assertive offensive performance. I'd like to see...
Like a 9 of 10.
Yeah.
Because he's only going to get so many minutes.
I mean, exactly. But yeah, I'd like to see him just getting fed in the paint and absolutely feasting.
Do you think they switch up Kanter and Theis with the... Because we have Zubat. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I don't think Kanter starts.
Damn.
I would be very, very surprised. And then...
I hope not.
Just that size on the other end. Kanter does have size on Trez.
Yeah.
Who, I'm like...
Everyone does.
I would be very surprised if they started Kanter. But he's not really a defensive center at all.
No.
And a lot of the second unit's defense is kind of built around covering for Kanter. And he's known to get... freaking buried in pick and roll coverage. So I think that this could be a
heavy
game
dose
of some, yeah, Lou and Trez pick and roll, hopefully a sort of a return to form for the bench from what we saw in the Sixers game.
Yeah, I hope that too. For what could go wrong, the Celtics open looks fall better than the usual 36% from three, which is still pretty good.
Yeah, that's
here's right. Kind of a depressing stat.
Okay.
The Clippers allow the fourth most three-point attempts per game in the league, according to Basketball Reference.
Why would you block them, you know?
Let them shoot, you know? I looked that up, and I almost had a little bit of sticker shock. Kemba's taking 9 threes a game at a 38% clip, and as we talked about before we started this episode, can pull up, can...
Yeah, he can shoot above the break. They can be anywhere. Like, he creates space so well, he can take them...
And we don't have our best
almost at any point
on-ball defender or point guards in this game. They have capable shooters everywhere. So the perimeter has to be, we can't give up, you know, the fourth most three-point attempts of the night of all the games to the Celtics, I think, and get a win in this game. It's going to be hard. I feel like we've been kind of down, but this is a difficult matchup. I like it better than the 76ers matchup because they don't have a mercurial seven-footer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they have a even roster. They kind of have our thing with like a lot of wing depth, that kind of thing. What do you think could go wrong?
Well, before that, I just got one last thing we need to do well.
Yeah.
Marcus Morris revenge game.
Okay, yeah.
Let's
I like
see
that.
Morris absolutely dump on his former team.
Not physically. We're not talking two pieces. We're talking made baskets. Or maybe assist, depending on how the ball movement's going.
But anyways, what could go wrong in this one?
Lulled into their pace. We've dipped in pace over the last couple weeks, which kind of makes sense because we, you know, trade buckets with a team for the first quarter, or we kind of play down to a team that on paper seems lesser.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're controlling the pace, it's going to be hard for Kawhi to get to Kawhi speed.
Yeah.
And we might, if Paul George isn't exactly feeling himself, we might need Kawhi to be Kawhi on both ends for sure.
Totally.
What do you got for matchups?
Zone versus zone. Celtics run a lot of zone, especially on the floor, like I said kind of earlier, to hide Kanter.
Yeah.
So it'd be really great to be able to punish them with some early threes and just kind of shake up that defense.
Yeah. Getting hot, dude, man. I hope Shamit is the first sub off the bench again, and I hope he gets shots immediately.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see us just opening with some action for Shamit in this one. And
or
then,
for PG. Let's get PG on track.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear PG versus himself.
Okay.
Let's head into the All-Star break with a bounce-back performance.
Yes.
You know, let's run sets for him.
Ounce-back performance, if you will.
I love that. I'm headed to Seattle this weekend, so I might have a bit of an ounce-back performance. We have a bad show on Friday. But I want him. This would be a nice. This would be a perfect game to have like a stellar offensive performance.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Small ball versus smaller ball.
You got a lot of errs in this one.
So,
really erred on the side of caution. All right, I'm gonna get at it.
So, as I said, like the starters, they run. I mean, it's a lot of wings. But Kemba is small, and like traditionally, I feel like the size is. I mean, they play a small ball lineup.
Yeah, Tyson there for sure.
And so I'm curious to see if we could see some of the Morris at the 5 minutes, and if I mean, I think that'd be a lot more effective against a team like this than
a team with Joel Embiid
than Philadelphia. So that would be a nice kind of. It'd be nice for those kind of chaos doc lineups to get a little bit of time, get a little bit of just feeling each other out, figuring some stuff out.
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens could bring out some of the chaos doc.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. Whoever...
Pete Buttigieg's nephew?
Yeah, exactly. Whoever is going to guard him versus Kemba Walker. It's going to be Kawhi on Kemba, right?
I don't think so.
Who's on Kemba then?
Not
Paul George. He cannot guard Kemba right now.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got to be Kawhi.
I guess.
It's not bad that it's Kawhi. It's not Lou if we start Lou. I mean, it is for a half second, and then no one is in front of Kemba Walker. So...
Man, that's really tough. I'm really worried about that.
Yeah, and how we deal with our screens is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Are we going to go over them and let Kemba go around us? Are we going to go under them and let him...
Just give
him space?
I was going to say, he's one of those guys that I just feel like you cannot give any space.
You can't. So that's... With Pat Beverly out, our game hinges on stopping the other team's backcourt.
Yeah.
100%, because that's where we are kind of weakest depth-wise.
Yeah, do you think we see some good Magruder minutes?
I think we see some Magruder minutes is all I'm going to say. what's your prediction for this game?
Oh, man. I think we fought. I'm hoping.
I'm going to check the line real quick.
I'm hoping that we fight a hard-fought battle. I think we fall again.
Damn.
But it's a little bit closer than the Celtics game. I'm going to go... or the Sixers game, sorry. 108 to 112. I think I got to give the Celtics the edge in this one.
You would be betting with the spread because currently these Celtics are 1.5-point favorites. I'm saying dub.
I was going to say we do own Boston, though.
I'm saying dub. I think we get a Paul George bounce back game. I hope we do.
I'd love to see a Morris
revenge
game.
This is such a hard
test.
I mean, this is an up and down. You look at the Celtics roster. Hayward, like Brown might not play in this game. He's got a messed up calf. He's day to day. But even without him, they got Tatum was playing out of his mind. They got Hayward. Like, Hayward's almost in the 50-40-90 club right now. Clippers win, I think, by five.
Okay.
But I think it's an assertive five.
I like it.
You know what I mean?
I like it.
If Shamet has more than 11 attempts, we win this game. Coming to bat for this, we got some hot takes. But first, one of them involving Marcus Morris, the five. But first, man, baseball's back soon.
It is.
What the hell can I do to enjoy it? And where the hell can I go to enjoy it?
Well, there's only one place to enjoy baseball this time of year, especially the spring. And you should follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona.
What?
For the Cactus League spring training. There's amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is truly the perfect home base for baseball fans.
Home base.
You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona. They got 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, beautiful 75-degree temperatures with all 10 stadiums in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles of where you are. And you can meet the players and get autographs before games.
Get a couple of autographs.
Plus,
fantastic.
You can check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company.
Woo.
You can enjoy live music from local and national artists and explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. And if that wasn't enough, Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in a sunset, man. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check out must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Fantastic. Just got back from Tucson.
Beautiful.
Saw my great aunt. She's doing good. Shout out to Annie. Welcome to Hot Take Thursday. Thank you so much for submitting your hot takes. You can leave your hot takes anytime at 213-986-7354. We're going to get right into this one. This is from a fan of the team across the hall.
Hiya.
But honestly, it sounds...
That's already hot.
But honestly, it sounds like he's going to make the clip flip. Go ahead, listen to Corbin's hot take.
Hey, this is Corbin at Corbin NBA. Follow me. Anyway, I'm a Lakers fan, but I love your show, and that's why I'm here to give a hot take. Y'all think Marcus Morris made y'all worse? I know, it's only two games, but I saw some funky lineups Doc was rolling out with Marcus, including using him as the center, as the five man in a lineup that also featured Lou Williams. I like Morris. He's a solid player. Wish he was with the Lakers, but he's not that type of defender to cover for weaknesses like that. Especially on the stretch style floor, in my opinion. Thought it was interesting. Also, some shots down the stretch he ended up taking that I would have much rather seen Paul George and Kawhi take. Anyway, just my thoughts. Love the show, but not too much. Have a good one. Good luck, y'all.
Okay. First of all, that dude sounds like a Clippers fan. Thank you for the hot take, Corbin.
Really appreciate it.
Level-headed take.
Spicy. It's spicy at the same time.
It is spicy.
Did Marcus Morris make us worse?
I don't know if he made us worse. I don't think he did. I think he made us better. The offense outweighs Mo's defensive advantage on Morris. Doesn't weigh as much as Morris's offensive advantage on Mo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Like, Morris obviously isn't going to guard ones.
I have to agree with you.
But
we haven't had a home game yet, so we haven't got to check out the locker room vibe.
Very true.
But I think that he'll...
Man, I miss Staples.
I think that he's willing to blend in with especially this team. And kind of this identity, I feel like, does fit him.
It's hard because he went from first option to on the starting lineup, some nights fifth option.
Totally.
Most of the nights fourth.
Totally.
That's hard to get used to.
Yeah, I mean, even in Boston when they made that Eastern Conference Finals run, I mean, he'd still be top three-ish options.
For sure. Yeah, with attempts, definitely. But I like the point that he makes, that Corbin makes, about not liking him at the five when Lou Will is on the floor.
Totally.
Because, like, that is, like, we talk about gravity with offensive players. Is it anti-gravity for bad defenders?
Yes.
I just thought
no,
of
it's
that
still
one.
Gravity,
I'm pretty proud of it.
But it's like gravity because they're gaming for you.
It's
like,
almost anti-matter.
I know.
All right, now we're getting too deep in it. But, like, I like that point. Like, if he has to guard, say, Joel Embiid, but the point guard is getting free every single time because Lou Will's guarding him, that, like, those two things can't, those lines don't match up. Which is a Doc thing, not a Morris thing.
No, I agree.
Also, Lou Will and Shamit need to maybe not play together on the floor at the same time. But that's a different situation.
Just with Pat Bev out, like, lineups are funky, so it's really hard for me still to judge any given lineup that we're experimenting with right now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you are missing a huge defensive anchor in the back, or like, yeah, in that backcourt.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, because I'm not out on Morris at the five by any means.
No, we've wanted to see Jermichael, but I guess Morris is the new Jermichael. It's kind of what it feels like if you want to parallel it with last year, which Doc does not want to do.
No, totally.
What about his point about seeing shots down the stretch that maybe should have gone to Paul George or Kawhi? This is what I agree with. I agree with this the most. I'm like, this is going to be the hardest transition, is like Dude, I don't want to see the mid-range fadeaway with 17 seconds left on the shot clock and Paul George and Kawhi on the floor with Morris.
Yeah, I also don't want to see him get that tunnel vision going, like driving to the rim against a outmatched defender.
Yeah.
Who you just shit talked.
But here's the thing.
It makes us better,
but it hasn't looked smooth yet, and I think that that's to be expected.
Yeah. Nothing really has except for that 40-point victory.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we're able to see that gel a little bit sooner because we just don't really have a whole lot of time.
No, we don't. We got around 28 games.
So, yeah, I'd like to see that tightened up.
Yeah. Something to think about, though. Let us know what you think about that at Locked On Clips. Then we have our next take and last take. It's from Amir from Maryland.
Hey.
He's got something to say about some of the Paul George hate.
Hi, this is Amir from Maryland. I just watched the Clippers and Sixers game, and I just was on Twitter and seeing a lot of overreactions to PG's bad game. And I wanted to kind of calm that down. I feel like, you know, this is his first year in the new system. If anybody watches his game over the years, I feel like when he was in Oklahoma City for those 2 years, he was getting a little bit more touches on the offensive end. The offense was flowing through him and Russ solely instead of just, you know, like Lou and Trez, Zoo, Kawhi, and now Marcus Morris. It feels like on this Clippers team, like whenever he gets the ball, he has the almost put a shot up because the pick and roll, he has to dump it off to the big. It just feels like it's so many miles to feed on this team. It's hard to get a rhythm in his own offense. Man, I will admit during the Sixers game that there were a lot of missed calls. I feel like he was fouled a lot going towards the rim, you know, on the perimeter and things like that. But it seems like people always forget the games that he plays well, and then whenever he has a bad game, it's such an uproar. But peace.
All right, Amir.
Sounds pretty bummed out. I hope Amir's doing good.
Yeah.
The Paul George stuff, he makes some good points. I think it's fair. I will say this. It's completely fair to expect more from Paul George than what happened against Philly.
Yes.
It's completely fair. Like it can be both things. Like you can want more from Paul George, but it's also he makes a good point in this take that people kind of forget. Like Kawhi kind of dominates the fan geist when things are going well. And Paul George is a little more, you know, like he's not second fiddle, but I think because of his start, we got so used to it.
Yeah, well, it's also just hard
that when good things happen, people are a little more like not as into it when he plays poorly.
It's just hard too because the sample size is so small with George.
And uneven, yeah.
That gets a little bit difficult. So I definitely do see the criticism. And you do worry. You know, you do worry if he's going to be able to come up big in big moments. But I think that this is just, yeah, this is growing pains. This is something to be expected from a guy who is coming back from
being in
double shoulder surgery, a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So it's,
which seems to be proven more detrimental than the double shoulder surgery, which will tell you how important hamstrings are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's massive. So, yeah, I mean, I think we were spoiled early on, so it's really hard to get over some of those expectations.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets difficult, I guess, with George is that he's so much a rhythm player that, like, when it's going well, it's going phenomenal. Like, it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah. You look up and he's got 25 points.
Yeah. It's like, it's as soon as it leaves its hand, you're like, oh, yeah,
that's
going
in. Yeah.
And then when it's not...
It's not.
It's not. And I do feel like he has trouble kind of overcoming those types of struggles. Like, I do feel like sometimes, you know, he starts poor and maybe doesn't improve from that.
Do you think that has to do kind of with what he was talking about with the moving parts with Russ and PG compared to like that, having more mouths to feed on the Clippers than we're realistically there on the Thunder? We looked at his attempts before we did this podcast. His attempts, he had four more attempts than per game last year. He's averaging like 17 right now. Last year it was 21. But every year before it was 21, it was 17 or 18.
Yeah, 17 or 18.
So like the attempts are kind of the same for the most part. But like I can see it. It's hard to be efficient when if Kawhi's going off and then you're kind of in like that Shamit situation where it's like, all right, well, when you get the ball, you better score.
He's also just done...
Guy who usually gets into a rhythm.
He's also done a lot better of a job like not shying away from contact or kind of flopping.
Yeah.
And driving a little bit more, which I think will just only continue... Like, as that increases that... I don't know, whatever it
confidence,
is. Like
a confidence, whatever,
ability, like whatever
belief.
It is. I think that that will help offset some of the nights like he had in Philly.
I mean, it's interesting. I shout out to Amir for not pointing out how his defense has been, because his defense has been a little worse than his offense, I think we would say.
Yeah, I'm real. I'm.
But hey.
I'm thirsty for that to come back.
Oh, shout out to the old Thirsty Thursday segment. Thank you so much for the takes, Corbin and Amir. We take any and all takes. You can leave them at 213-986.
Gives you poor takes, your tired takes.
Yeah, exactly. 213-986-7354. Yeah, we'll play it on the air. It's a good time. Coming up after this, we got some existential shavings.
All right, so you posed this question.
This was kind of a back and forth on Twitter a little bit. Also, kind of bit of a slow news day, if I'm being totally honest. Oh, shout out Noah Eagle. Got to be with his dad on the broadcast.
Eagles.
The 76ers game. That was tight.
Eagles.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Gah!
But you posed the question, who is the second most important Clipper?
I got this because LA Clippers film room was tweeting about how important Beverly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. He does everything. He literally defends, shoots threes, rebounds, assists. It's all there.
Yeah.
For a point guard. Sometimes he's firmly bare minimum the third most important player on the Clippers. And depending, I said this on Twitter, depending what side of the bed I wake up on, he's the second.
Yeah, that's fair.
The depth at the point guard position for our team, for guys who can defend well, is kind of non-existent. It's only Bev. For point guards, I'm not talking about wings or anything like that. But, dude, it might be Bev. Number one is Kawhi.
Yeah.
Or Zoo. No. It's Kawhi. But, like, who do you think number two is? It's a tough one.
It's really difficult. Part of me wants to say Lou, though, weirdly.
Woof!
Just because...
I mean, I like that. I mean, I'm not against that.
How well that second unit is able to develop a lead on another team is, like, so crucial to...
Yeah. Bringing a 20-point score onto the floor is...
To what this team can do. Because, I mean, it's just really difficult... It's really difficult to stagger Paul George and Kawhi. It's really difficult to keep those guys off the floor for any amount of time if that second unit isn't working well. Because it can't defend.
For sure.
It can't defend. We've fully given up on that. So if the offense isn't there, that second unit is dog shit. And... Ooh. So I would say that is like kind of a linchpin in the Clippers' success.
That's such an interesting argument because I don't think I've, at least on Twitter, I don't think I've seen anyone say Lou's maybe the most second important, but it's funny that two guys who have kind of complete, you know, one of them hangs their hat on defense, one of them doesn't.
And I'm not, I like it's.
And we're not saying this isn't an ability thing.
Yeah.
We're just talking importance. Obviously, in terms of ability, it's Amir Coffey, number one. No, but like, and you just look at the record without Bev, and you look at I mean, the game against this game against the Celtics might be an example of like, oh shit.
Like, no, Bev is the anchor, and
PG's always 3 or 2, is where I'm at. And I think because PG's a little quieter and not as dominant as Kawhi, he is dominant. I'm not saying he's not. I think we kind of like forget. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well,
we get used to it.
Here's my thing. Here would be my argument.
Like we just talked about that. We get used to it.
Here's my argument for PG being the second most important player. He's the vocal leader out there, especially when there's not Pat. He's the guy who's telling guys to get to their spots.
He's calling huddles.
Yeah. He, Kawhi is definitely a lead by example guy, and Paul George, I do feel like he's a little bit more comfortable being vocal with his teammates and
recently for sure
and communicated in that way. Paul George. I don't know. It's just interesting because it's like it's definitely Kawhi is the top or the base of the pyramid, because I would say the base is the most important. So he's probably the base.
Structurally, yes. Looks wise, no.
I
just got done watching Cheer on Netflix with Hannah, so I know a whole bunch about the pyramid hierarchy.
So he's probably the base of that. I'm thinking of like the food pyramid. Kawhi is bread, baby.
Oh yeah, Kawhi is bread. You need 8 to 19 servings a day of Kawhi.
Kawhi's bread.
And Doc thinks Zubats is sugars. Doc thinks Zubats is at the very top.
When realistically,
no. So Doc's
Trez is sugar. But.
Doc's food pyramid of Clippers is Trez at the very bottom. Trez is the 8 to 12.
He's the bread.
Servings. Yeah, and then the what is it? 3 above that. It's
eggs. I'm pretty sure eggs is one. Is it eggs?
So who's the eggs? Yeah, dude. It's bread, eggs, asparagus, fruit. Sugar.
And isn't wine in there?
Yeah,
I'm going Mediterranean food pyramid. Right.
We're off track. I could be convinced that it's Paul George. I could be convinced. I never thought about that it's Lou, but I'm going to for the next hour and a half.
I think there's an argument to be made, but I do think that, man, it's just so it's difficult. It's difficult.
It's a good problem because everyone
it's a great problem
is
to
good.
Have. But that's what I'm saying.
It's a nice thing.
Kawhi is clearly the base, and then all the other things are important except for maybe sugar for you to have every day. Like, you should probably be eating your eggs. You should probably be eating your vegetables.
First of all, I hope everyone who's listening to this podcast eats at least 4 eggs a day. They're cheap. They're good for you. Rodney McGruder just sugar in this situation. Let us know. That about wraps it up.
Pat Patterson, I think, is like a radish. It's like you don't have to eat it every day, but like you should eat it sometimes.
No,
also it's good.
Pat is leeks.
Oh, I love leeks.
Where you're like, what's that? Oh, leeks. Yeah, no, I like leeks.
I love leeks, actually.
Okay. Welcome to Locked On Vegetables. That wraps up today's show. Let us know who you think the second most important Clipper is. You could do that at Locked On Clips. You could do that at Will Updike. You could do that at Charles Mockler. Or you could leave a hot take at 213-986-7354.
Scorch us.
Scorch us. Not us. I mean, if it's funny enough, we'll play it on air. Also, if you leave a review on iTunes, we will read it on air. Haven't checked them in a minute, so if you left one recently, I'm sorry. We'll read it on tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You can find us on Deezer, Spotify, Apple, iCasts. Friday's show, we'll have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Celtics.
That's right.
Some all-star skills comp predictions.
Hey, who's got skills?
And of course, maybe an all-star Clippers-themed love, marry, kill. I am about to go eat a giant pastor burrito. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.